I'm excited to keep preaching here in our series called Faith for Life. We're in the 60s today, and then next week is 70s and beyond. Remember, there's overlap in these decades and these generations, and so don't think, well, I'm not 60, so this sermon isn't for me. No, there's some overlap. And then on top of that, what we're going to be talking about this morning is going to be a blessing to all of you, regardless of your age. And so I might have a little more application for those of you in your 60s or around your 60s, but I'll tell you what, there is some good information for every single one of us this morning. One of the things that has stood out to me in my reading of articles and interviewings of people was how many times the concern of physical health and well-being kept popping up when we talked about people in their 60s. Over and over again, health was a focal point of concern. In December, my wonderful mother will turn 69 years old, and so she's almost done with her 60s. And so I asked her, I interviewed my mom. I said, Mom, what has stood out? You know, what has been a primary concern or thought in your 60s? And the first thing she said was, Brian, I've spent a lot of time in my 60s thinking about my health. The odds of facing some fairly major health concerns in our 60s is rather high. Some of these concerns are arthritis or heart disease, osteoporosis, some form of cancer, respiratory disease, and the list goes on and on. And many of these health scares in her 60s are life-changing. Some are terminal, waking us up to the reality of mortality in ways that we've never really thought about before. Some are chronic, causing us to alter the way we live our lives on a daily or weekly basis, making us cope with ongoing pain and discomfort. Both of these bring about anxiety and fear, which can lead to depression and despair. Now, thankfully, many, in fact, are spared major health concerns in their 60s. Praise God for that. Research has shown that many in their 60s talk about how happy life is during that decade of life. And, you know, as I observe here within the body of Christ, some of our most helpful, some of our most reliable servants at FBC are folks in or around this decade. You know, you still have that energy, that drive, that strength to be effective for the kingdom purposes of God right here within First Baptist Church. And you're still effective. And you were thoughtful about your planning. You're thoughtful about savings. And so now you're in your retirement years and you're not needing to work so hard on a day-to-day basis to make a living and to cover your responsibilities and duties. And you have a chance to maximize these years of service for the good of God's people and for the glory of His name. And I would even say this. While certainly it takes people in every single decade of life for the Church of Jesus Christ to with all those abilities and gifts and perspectives to make the body of Christ function well, I tell you what, you folks in your 60s, maybe in your 70s, you know, you're still, if you still are in good health, you're not battling significant personal health challenges. I tell you what, you can provide, and you do provide, a unique and wonderful service to your brothers and sisters here at FBC that really nobody else can provide. You know, folks in their 20s and their 30s, 40s and 50s, they don't have the ability, they don't have the freedom to serve the body of Christ like you can and you do. They're busy making a living. They're busy raising a family. Don't have the savings accumulated like many of you do. Many things would be left undone if it were not for many of you in your 60s and your 70s. If you were not faithful in serving the body of Christ in ways that many others here, your little brothers and sisters in Christ, could not do. So I just want to say thank you for that. And I also want to encourage you, if you are in those years, your 60s or your 70s, and your health is still good, man, don't be on the sidelines. You can be a blessing to the body of Christ in ways that many of your little brothers and sisters can't be. And so I just want to encourage you, hear the call. Remember, all the way back, when we talked about in our 20s, that the purpose for which we were created, to do the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Don't check out too soon. And come and talk to us if you're interested. Like, well, I didn't know you could use my help, my services. You bet we could. We'll talk with us, and we'll tell you what you possibly could do for the kingdom purposes of God here. So our question this morning is, how long can I keep going? How long can I keep going? I'm wondering if those of you in your 60s, if you've thought that much. How long will I have the strength, the ability, the health to keep working and serving others? Will my body give out sooner than I hope? Or even, how do I cope with some of these illnesses or sicknesses or conditions that might strike me in my 60s? So I want to examine this question, how long can I keep going, with a particular focus on our bodies, with a particular focus on our physical health. And while it may be the case that those in their 60s think about these things more often than others, I'll tell you what, this applies to all of us. We all have a body. And some of them work a little bit better than others. And some of that has to do with age and things like that. But I'll tell you what, you know, even at 41, I'm beginning to see I can't eat like a teenager anymore. In fact, I found it out about 20 years ago. I haven't done anything about it yet, but I'm like, I better start thinking about that. It's going to catch up with me soon. And so we have to have right thinking about our bodies. Right thinking, right belief leads to right action. And so let's look what God has to say about this. Our key passage today is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So grab a Bible if you would. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Before we read these verses, I want to give you some preliminary remarks about what we're about to read. The first thing to say is that Paul, the particular concern that Paul is addressing to the Corinthian church is sexual immorality in this section. That's not going to be our focus this morning. Our passage might trigger some questions that you have in your mind about this or about that concerning this topic, but we're going to save that for another sermon. I want to read for the entire passage, which covers some of his instruction and concern and warning about sexual immorality, because I want to give you a full picture of the thrust of his argument. At the same time, though, I just want you to know that that's not going to be a particular focus this morning. What is relevant, what I'm going to try to highlight for you, is the stinking thinking that the Corinthians had about their bodies that led Paul to this warning. The Corinthian church had what we might call an overly spiritual view of the body. And what I mean by that is that they looked at their actual body and they didn't think it was very significant. God is spirit, they said. And so who cares what happens with this physical body, my hands, my feet? They thought their physical bodies were inconsequential. So who cares how much you eat and if you're gluttonous? And who cares who you sleep with? It's just your body. Your body isn't significant in light of the spiritual reality of God. And the problem, of course, with the Corinthians' thinking was that we live our spiritual lives to God and with one another in these bodies. That's what we use. It's in these bodies, these real physical bodies of flesh and blood, hands and feet, eyes and ears. It's in these physical bodies that we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we trust in Jesus, that we serve the body of Christ, that we hear the words of truth, that we speak words of encouragement and affirmation to one another, that we remain faithful to our spouses. Everything I just mentioned is spiritual. And it requires a proper use of your bodies. We can't live our spiritual lives faithful to God without being faithful with these bodies, understanding what God has made our bodies for and the use of our bodies. And that's what the Corinthians didn't understand. And so Paul's trying to correct that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So with that in mind, let's read starting in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 6. So Paul begins verse 12 by saying, "All things are lawful for me." He's quoting a motto that they like to say. "But not all things are helpful." So he's correcting that motto. You say all things are lawful, okay, but here's a correction. Not all things are helpful. "All things are lawful for me." Again, he quotes that motto. "But I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and stomach for the food." Another motto they liked. And now he corrects it by saying, "And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." You can see the Corinthians' permissive and misguided ideas in that opening verse. Their mottos basically said, it's all good. It doesn't matter what we do with our bodies. No big deal. And that's what he's correcting. That was the underlying belief of those mottos that they were stating and believing. And now he's ready to provide some new direction, some new truth. And the first key statement that I want to spend time on this morning is the second half of verse 13. The second half of verse 13, where Paul says, "The body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Think what he's saying. The body, hey, it's not meant for sexual immorality. It's meant for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. And that's the first thing I want you to see here as we talk about what Paul is saying here, is that your body is for the Lord. That's the purpose of your body. God gives you your body so you can use it for him. Our bodies aren't given to us for us. This is my body. I will do with it what I want to. That doesn't match Christian truth found in the scriptures. So when our bodies are young and healthy and strong, they are for the Lord. And when they are older, when they are weaker, when they are slower, when they are ill, our bodies are for the Lord's. And I'm wondering, might that help some of you as you're looking at your tiring and weakening body? Maybe a body that's getting sick. I'm wondering, with it growing weaker, with it getting sicker, with it not being as strong as it once, are you tempted? Are you tempted to doubt God? Are you tempted to question God? Maybe even curse God for a body that's giving you more difficulty than you're used to? More difficulty than you can handle? Do you look at your feet that now ache, and your eyes that are now dimmer, ears that don't hear so well, an immune system maybe that doesn't fight off disease so easily? And do you possibly take it personal? Do you possibly get offended by that? Like, God, how come this is happening? Where are you, God? Why do I have to go through this? Well, remember, your body is for the Lord's. You belong to Him. If He keeps you healthy, it is for Him. If He permits you being sick, it is for the Lord. He's got a purpose in mind for that. You know, our bodies are always two things at the exact same time. Okay? Our bodies are always two things at the exact same time. On the one hand, our bodies are temptations. Our bodies are a temptation to us. And in our health and wellness, our bodies are a temptation to be proud, to be self-sufficient, to ignore God. You know, we really don't feel we need God all that much when all is well. And so when our bodies are healthy, when they are strong, we are tempted to think, well, what do I need God for? I can handle this challenge. I can take care of this concern. I don't need the Lord for this. I've got a strong, healthy body. Healthy bodies are a temptation to us to forget God. But so are weak and sick bodies too. Because in our weakness, in our sickness, we're tempted to curse God. Like, God, where are you? Why won't you come and help me? Why have you taken my strength away? If you won't come and help, God, then what good are you? Our bodies are a temptation. Our bodies are also, secondly, an opportunity. Our bodies are an opportunity to glorify the Lord. In our strength, our bodies present to us this wonderful opportunity to honor the Lord through service. We can give it our all. We can be efficient and effective in many areas of service. You know, we can handle that sleepless night at the junior high lock-in, chasing around 13 and 14-year-olds, right? Can I get an amen to that, George? There you go, right? We can run around after toddlers and not grow so tired in our strength. We can work all day splitting wood for someone who needs assistance. We have many wonderful opportunities to serve God with a healthy body. God also, though, gives us an opportunity to honor Him with weak bodies also. We can magnify the Lord in our weak bodies by relying on Him. We can show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us in our weakness. We can demonstrate that God is indeed our greatest treasure by loving Him, by remaining devoted to Him, even though He hasn't granted to us the physical strength and health that we want. When we love God in our weakness and our sickness, when we say, God, You are still my greatest treasure, even though my health is not what it once was, God, we honor the Lord. We magnify His name. Friends, we have a great opportunity to serve God in sickness, in health, with weakness, or in strength. Our bodies are for the Lord in any and every condition. So that's the first thing I want you to see here in verse 13. The second is also in verse 13, and it says that the Lord is for our bodies. Do you see that there in the end of verse 13? Just look at the very end of verse 13. And the Lord for the body. That's good news. That is good news, friends. The Lord is for your body. He's for you. Always remember, the Lord is for you. How could we doubt that, right? Well, if you're currently struggling or fearful, it's quite possible that you could doubt that. But I just want to encourage you to look at it from a couple of perspectives. Number one here, you know, has there ever been a time in all of history when there has been so many resources, medicines, treatments, knowledge to to help us maintain and regain our health. I mean, I know there are conditions, maladies that strike fear in our hearts. I remember when I was second year of college and got that phone call from my mom and dad letting me know, hey, dad's got cancer. It woke me up. Didn't know how to respond. Didn't know what to do. Word like that, that puts you into a spin. And throw in other names and concerns like Parkinson's or MS or heart disease, you name it. But friends, consider all of the resources, all of the advancements in modern medicine, in medical technology, in knowledge, in equipment that can bring healing to our bodies, that can compensate for our weaknesses and incapacities. Diseases that were death sentences just several short decades ago are now treated with great effectiveness today. Modern medicine and treatment is so utterly amazing in helping us and aiding us when our bodies do grow weak and sick. That doesn't mean it's always going to be a walk in the park. No treatment is often painful and grueling, but there's literally new hope. With many conditions, almost on a yearly basis. It's amazing. And that's the goodness of God, is it not? And along with these external resources, even more so, one that we ignore, one that we don't pay much attention to, is our very own internal immune system. Like nothing is better for our health than our own God-given, finely tuned immune system. And so when we make sure that we maintain that immune system well through eating and maintenance and healthy living, it's a tremendous gift of God to keep us healthy so many years of our lives. Friends, the Lord is for our bodies. We just have to have eyes to see that that is indeed the case. Jump to the end of our passage. Look at verse 19 and 20. Let me just read them for you again. It's the summary statement that hopefully grips your heart well. Verse 19 and 20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. He just is summarizing what we just been talking about, giving some new words, giving some new images to think about. And again, notice the importance, the centrality of our bodies in our worship to God. In this body, the Holy Spirit meets with me. I worship God more so than any other place in this body, with this body. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so how I use it, what I do with it, what I think of it makes an impact in my worship of God. So that's the theological foundation I wanted to provide for you this morning. And what I want to do now is I want to suggest a couple of things in relation to our question, how long can I keep going? How long can I keep going? I think this question implies something. I think it implies that you've adopted God's purpose for your life, that you are going to use your body for the kingdom purposes of God. How long can I keep going serving Him? How long can I keep going honoring Him? I'm hoping that's what you're thinking about when you think about your bodies. So let me give you a couple of points of application, I think, from what we read today. I said in my sermon to those in their 30s a few weeks ago, that the 30s might just be the time we need to include rest and Sabbath the most in our lives because all the change and the demand on ourselves. If there's a rival to the 30s for that rest and Sabbath, I would say it's probably our 60s, precisely because of the changes that are going on with our bodies. In our 50s and even 40s, we might see signs of fatigue. we might see like a little wear and tear, but that gets more obvious, right? The older we get, the older we get. And so here's the thing. For you to keep going, you need to start adjusting the balance between work and rest. To keep working, which is our calling, you might need to dial it back. You might need to change the kind of work you do for the kingdom purposes of God. You have to take care of your body in a new way, a particular way, so that you can keep going. This is what stewardship looks like. You know, you think about what God has given to me, you think of what it is, and then you take care of it accordingly so you can be a good steward. Now, I'm guessing something. I'm guessing that for many of you, you hate even thinking about having to adjust. Needing to adjust is a reminder that God is changing your life, maybe in unwelcome ways. I can appreciate that. You know, I curse the tendonitis when I get that in my foot because I play basketball, or I curse my slower metabolism, and these are small, right? These are small things in the grand scheme of our lives. I am afraid of the attitude. I'm afraid of what my heart will be like when I'm really faced with some big changes that I have to undergo in my physical body, because I'm noticing I'm so in love with this present world. I'm so in love with this present world. And that makes me nervous for how I'm going to deal with the tests and the trials that God brings my way when it comes to my body. And friends, that's what's happening to you. And so if you see changes in your body, whether it's because you're getting older, because it's sickness or something like that, God is doing something. There's a test going on in your life. And it's not just that you have aching parts. It's not just that you have sick parts. God is working in you through the test. Don't fail that test. Don't curse God in this moment. I actually believe that God uses our weakening bodies as we get older as a way of sanctifying us as we get older. So we can declare that God is indeed our greatest treasure and not this world, not my life, not whatever I can do and whenever I want to do it. Don't curse God and his sovereignty by turning into a grumpy old man or a bitter old woman. I'm serious about that. You know what I mean? And I am sympathetic. I really am. I am sympathetic with those of you, my big brothers and sisters in the Lord, as your body is changing and you're growing weaker. Because again, I'm a baby when I just get sick, or I'm a baby when I just have these small maladies. And that's why I'm telling you, I'm concerned about what my heart and my faith will look like when I'm going through significant things, because I'm not dealing with the little things well. But you grumbling, you complaining, you being that bitter woman, you being that grumpy man, that's you failing the test. That's you looking at God and saying, you're not being good to me. That's you saying, I love this world more than I love what God has for me. And so I just want to encourage you, be a role model for your little brothers and sisters in Christ. That you recognize the sovereignty of God. You see the limits that he is placing in your life. And you step into him and into the station he has provided for you with hope and trust in his grace, so that the light of Christ might shine through you as your world changes. But to do that, you have to accept the limitations, but then you also have to adjust. You have to adjust the balance between work and rest. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Think hard about adjusting the balance between work and rest. Here's the second word of encouragement I have for you. It comes from 1 Corinthians 9. Comes from 1 Corinthians 9. I'll put it on the screen for you. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and through 27 say this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, see, Paul wants the prize. He wants to receive God's reward. Notice what he does so that he can run the race and win the prize. Notice what he does. Verse 27. Look at verse 27. I discipline my body and I keep it under control. Paul recognized that while the battle that he had was against the powers of this present darkness, the battleground was his body. That's where the battle was located, in his body. It was against the authorities and the rulers of the dark realm, but it happened in here, in his body. That's where the spiritual battle took place. And so what did he do? He practiced rigorous discipline of his body to keep it under control. A spiritual exercise happening in his body. And friends, every single one of us need that, regardless of our age. If you are young, and your bodily desires are growing and surging, you need to exercise discipline of your bodies so that your heart is not taken captive to the idols of pleasure and comfort. If you are older, out of weariness and fatigue, your body might be begging you to give up the fight of faith, to give in to self-pity, to grumpiness, to complaining, to bitterness, to win that battle against the flesh. We all have to exercise discipline of our bodies. And if I might say, it might just be the biggest battle and challenge that we have of all. And with God's help, we can do it. So, if I could say, if you are in your 60s, I really believe you have the potential to have some wonderfully fruitful years ahead of you for the kingdom purposes of God. Just make sure that you're making those adjustments. The balance, the discipline of your bodies so that you can live a life of service until you finish the race. And we're here to help and encourage you, and we're here to learn from you too. And so that's God's words for us today.